6 proposals, but 96 of them weren't full proposals. So some of them were just idea-based proposals, and we read through them all, and we took the ideas from some of them that didn't have necessarily development experience, and the ones that we like, we chose to try to push the proposals that we recommend to lean in the direction of some of those ideas. So I just wanted to make it clear that we didn't go from 96 to 3. It was we had a base that were actually full proposals.
So, Mayor, because we've heard started with the minority report, now we get the majority report, it'd be helpful for me just to have you respond to two issues raised in the minority report. One is whether the operating agreement effectively prevents there from being a level playing field, and whether you have a concern that that's going to lead to some people pulling out of the process. And the second is, do you believe that the base case is inadequate in any way?
Why don't I answer the second first, and I'll let somebody else answer the first second. The base case, which we have a fair amount of knowledge about, but which the minority report indicated they would like some deeper, more specific knowledge about, essentially will get us what we have now. We have the Memorial Coliseum that is doing business, functioning the way it is, bringing what was the number, 150 events a year to the facility. I don't think that any of us, or let me speak for at least 26 or 27 or 28 of us, think that what is currently in place is adequate. That's why we've spent the last 10 months, and other people before have spent the last however many years. So to simply make some, you know, updates, some modifications to the existing, clean it up a little and let it continue the way it is, that seems like a huge missed opportunity for the city of Portland. And we can have the base case further flushed out. We can get more specific economic information, confidential economic information. It won't shed any light on our feeling that we can do better in the Memorial Coliseum, with the Memorial Coliseum, and with the Rose Quarter, if that answers the question.
And then to tail off what he just said, my main question with the base case was that out of the 90s, because it's not just us, this has been a really transparent process, and we've had public involvement throughout. Every single session, we have people from the public comment. And it was very clear that before we received the proposals that anybody could have any idea. That meant absolutely the craziest idea. It didn't matter. And out of the 96 proposals, we didn't see anything that reflected what the base case is. So from my standpoint, sitting on the committee and from what we're hearing from the public, that isn't an example of what they want to see, because if it was, I think there would have been a proposal that reflected that. There would have been a team that wanted to go forward with a base case scenario. So unless we just wasted the last 7 months, it wasn't really apparent to us that that's what the public wanted, and that's what we've been representing.
So if I could just offer two observations, if they're helpful. One is the deal that the city struck with the Arena Corporation 17 years ago was basically the kind of deal that said, city, you're not going to lose any money on Memorial Coliseum. So that was what the city, as I understand it, was most concerned about. You build a big arena next to an old arena, and suddenly the city might have a white elephant and have to pay a lot of money. So right or wrong, that's kind of what they focused on. The reason why Will and others are focused on getting more detail is in part to figure out if it was more independently operated, what's the potential upside? So a different scenario of managing the two facilities with separate operators. So I just want to put that out. The second thing is that if you, once we get the presentations, you're going to see sort of a mix of assertiveness in changing the internal aspects of the bowl and the external aspects of the facility. So that you will see a range of more modest, higher than the base case, but more modest, all the way up to significant changes suggested by some.
And I guess the second question I had was about the operating agreement.
Right, and I guess my response really on the operating agreement ties quite closely into the base case as well, is that what I would say is that not only do the current status of the base case and the operating agreement not, and should, they are not a they're not a roadblock to moving forward to the process as it has been designed, with the next step being the RFP. And why I say that is that I think the issues that can arise with both the base case and with the operating agreement are not currently ripe. Understandably, the bargain for exchange between the city and Oregon Arena Corporation 17 years ago may not necessarily be what it is today, particularly for any individual proposer. But with regard to both the base case and with the operating agreement, unless and until we have somebody with the financial and development capability of making a reuse of the Coliseum, it's then that proposal and that plan that becomes relevant to the base case and to what needs to be done with the operating agreement. And my understanding thus far is that the Trailblazers are open to that possibility. I mean, if we took the minority report's position to its practical extreme and said, okay, the only options are we wait 13 years or we have Portland Arena management waive all of its rights under the operating agreement that they see as being forestalling the process, well, then what if the Trailblazers come out as being the publicly supported proposal? If they do, then Portland Arena management has just waived its rights that it would very well want to and have every right to hold on to if the Trailblazer proposal went forward.
And that was very well stated for me. It helped me understand the position. But it's also been suggested that the other applicants may pull out if they feel that they are, in effect, competing against, you know, a PAM that also has effectively has a contractual veto over their proposal down the road.
So I totally understand. I think that would be a tragedy. I think it would be tragic at this state of this process to have that happen, because I really do believe that it is a red herring. I think for several reasons, if one of those other proposals becomes the publicly supported proposal, for several reasons, I do not see that Portland Arena Management would go back on its interest in a good faith negotiation over those rights to make it the better proposal, the best development for the city.
Good. Thank you.
So I have a question and a comment. First, thank you very much for all of your work. The entire 31-member committee has put in a lot of time and effort and has presented us with a very professional two sets of advice, which I greatly appreciate. It's evidence of our wonderful citizen involvement here in Portland. The mayor asked me to stand in for him at the presentation of the 96 proposals, which I was initially reluctant to do because I hadn't been involved in it, and I was absolutely amazed at the breadth of proposals. I received an email this weekend saying that we should think outside the box, and I actually laughed out loud because there were certainly, and you know, people refer to the box of the Memorial Coliseum, while there was certainly a lot of thinking both inside and outside the box of the Coliseum. So thank you for your diligence in doing that. The minority report folks mentioned that they thought that the committee should continue to work to advise the Rose Quarter, and I'm wondering if that's something that you signed up for a certain amount of volunteer time. Is that something that you think the members of the advisory committee might be willing to do?
I think we'd have to canvass the committee and see how they're feeling and how their time commitments are. I think that there are probably some of us who now feel sufficiently vested in this process and desperately want to see not only the Coliseum but the entire Rose Quarter and the entire neighborhood become something that will be extraordinary. And so I think those of us who believe that and want that bad enough will make time in our lives and our work schedules to commit to it for some additional time if that's what we are asked to do.
Mayor Adams, that is your intent to ask the committee?
I can't think of one meeting where the Rose Quarter District as a whole hasn't come up as the looking glass through which we view the Coliseum or vice versa as the catalyst to the whole. I mean, and so I agree that there's quite an investment in the larger district for
and
the
committee. Might be informed by the interest that you have generated, that perhaps there are particular voices or interest groups that might augment the group. But I, again, want to thank you for what you've done, and I hope you will continue to advise
us. Thank you.
I mean, when they were given homework and that they had to report in on their homework online, it was like 96% of folks did their homework. Attendance was in the 90% the whole time. We want them to stay on if anybody that wants to. So thank you all very much.
Can I, if that thank you wasn't goodbye,
well, yes.
It almost was. So let me just, I just want to offer one personal observation. I was asked by the minority report if I would support their report, and I was asked that in part because I had some ideas and some concepts that I believed were exciting for this project that probably the resources for which were not available or weren't currently available. But I have to share with you that what troubled me and continues to is that for someone who has spent his life working and developing venues and theaters and knowing that, you know, the gentlemen and women behind me who are Portland Arts Area Management and Trailblazers, they too have spent their lives developing and managing venues and theaters, it is simply not correct, number one, to say that downsizing or reducing the seating capacity is not prudent because the larger seating capacity affords larger events. That's not the case. We've learned over and over in this country and in this world that it's about an experience. You create a better experience, you draw more people to the events on the whole. So I think that's important to understand. And also to relate it to the Spokane facility doesn't work because we are looking at a very unique facility in this country that has both a large rose garden adjacent to a smaller Memorial Coliseum. Spokane, like many others, is a single facility.
But they used to have actually two facilities, and they tore down their Memorial Coliseum, their version of Memorial Coliseum.
Right.
So thank you all very much. I'm sorry, I got to move
no,
along.
No, that's okay, sorry.
Members of the council have very busy schedules. Who's going first? Mark, the Mark. Mr. Oblitz, please come forward. Welcome back.
Thank you. Mayor, members of the council, thank you for providing some time for me to very briefly present our proposal. And also thanks to the staff for the quick switch. I was supposed to be second. I was supposed to be at a 4:30 meeting across the river. And so as soon as we're ready here, I'll launch into it. I'm with Shields Oblitz Johnson. We're the project manager and sponsor for the MARC proposal. Also in the room today as part of our team is Peter Meiser from Peter Meiser Architects, who's our historic consultant. And Peter deserves credit for the application to put the Memorial Coliseum on the historic register, a successful application, by the way. And we're rebooting.
Very suspenseful.
Very suspenseful. I like that.
I would sing, but you wouldn't want me.
No, no, that's okay, really. That's
I would dance, and you wouldn't want me.
About pantomime.
Sure. Lip sync, maybe.
Lip sync, yeah.
Doug, do you agree that if we eliminated about 2/3 of the seats in this chamber, we'd have a good, we would have a better experience?
Absolutely.
For the
public? More people, you know.
Starting with this side.
Nick, you know what they used to say. It's so.
Thank you, Mayor. I think the voters will have a say on that, but thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
The old saying, it's so crowded there, no one goes there anymore.
It's so crowded.
Or words of that effect.
Oh, no. Oh, I'm sorry. No. So, who has to leave at 5? At 5?
Exactly. 5:15, I guess.
I'm fine with that. I'm fine with that. Sure.
I'm glad it's not my dreaded glitch this time. It usually is.
Doug, have you run any triathlons recently?
Yes, I actually did one just 2 weeks ago over in Hawaii with my 15-year-old son.
Ah.
A lot of fun.
Wow.
And you are roughly what age now?
30, Your Honor.
35? Yeah.
And if you believe that, I have a bridge in North Portland that's available. Actually,
you 55. Look like
55 this year. Thank you.
You're doing 30. Triathlons.
Yes.
Wow.
What's the upper end in terms of competing at that level?
I've seen 80-year-olds do the Ironman. So it's a sport that lasts a long time.
So triathlon is a full marathon?
Depends. There are different distances. The Ironman has a
few that you did.
No, this was an Olympic distance, so it was a 1 mile swim, a 40 kilometer bike, and a 10K run.
Wow.
You have all these Type A personalities up here. We all are just resisting going over there and helping you with the computer.
It's happening.
We have. Is it happening?
Yes.
Okay, good. I have people reaching out for me. We have four and a half Type A personalities.
What to do with the personality types? It's due to the aptitude.
Yep, got it. All right, good.
Oh,
Mer. The little button down, lower left.
Sorry.
There we go. A quick recap.
Yes.
All right.
Okay. Amy has asked me to go quickly, so I'm going to comply, of course. I mentioned our project team, Shills Olbus Johnson, TVAA Architects, Peter Meiser Architects, Howard S. Wright Construction, and Brailsford and Dunleavy from Washington, D.C. has done our economic analysis. Project overview, a project that brings the Coliseum back under public control. A repurposing of the Coliseum that will significantly increase its utilization, a youth and family-oriented plan that reflects Portland's values, a model for sustainable design, and a bold and compelling alternative to the current operating paradigm. The key project elements were proposing a new 6,500 to 8,500-seat arena for a wide range of community events, an enhanced veterans memorial at the front door to the arena.
You get your full 10 minutes, so
okay. I'm still going to move it.
Okay.
A large-scale public recreation center open to all, facilities that are capable of hosting a wide range of local, regional, national, and international competitions. This is our premier image of the project and what we want people to see first and foremost. That's the Memorial Coliseum, and we're preserving the box, the roof, the four columns, the glass enclosure, the main entry canopy, most of the elements of the current building. The Veterans Memorial is a very important part of our proposal. We believe it needs to be a proper memorial for all veterans. We have proposed moving the Veterans Memorial from the lower level, where very few people know where it's located, to the preeminent location, literally at the front door of the arena. The existing elements that are in the memorial would be refurbished and relocated. There would be expanded elements outside and inside the building, including a veterans meeting center and museum, and we would return most importantly to the original promises made to veterans when the building was built in the late 50s. And again, this is our key image. We want people to see the Veterans Memorial when they come to the building, and this is our idea of bringing the Veterans Memorial up and putting it in a new landscape setting at the front door to the Coliseum. We are proposing what amounts to a new Memorial Coliseum. It's an entirely new, ground-up, state-of-the-art arena with flexible seating configurations to accommodate a wide range of events and to maximize changeover opportunities. It includes an NHL-sized ice rink and a state-of-the-art design to accommodate community desires for an international-quality velodrome and a 200-meter indoor track and field facility. The public recreation facility would include a competition-ready aquatic center with three pools, a community ice hall, essentially a second ice sheet for youth and adult hockey, figure skating, recreational skating, and curling. And a new floor would be inserted above the arena that would be the field house, which has flexible flat floor space for courts and fields and a full range of fitness facilities for toddlers, youth, adults, and seniors. This is a quick image of the aquatic center showing the view out through the glass wall towards the west and towards downtown, and another image of the field house level. The competition facilities that are included would be a new marketing tool for the Oregon Sports Authority and Travel Portland to attract competitions to Portland. We call them sports conventions. The arena, aquatic center, and field house are all designed for maximum flexibility for a range of events. and there's the ability to utilize multiple venues within the MARC, including the Fieldhouse and Arena, working in conjunction, and also the opportunity to use the MARC in conjunction with the Rose Garden, the Oregon Convention Center, and other facilities in the city for larger events. Other elements very quickly include the Oregon Sports Hall of Fame, sports organization offices for youth and adult sports organizations, a health and wellness center, athletic training for elite athletes, meeting and party rooms, and a full-service restaurant. Very quickly, I'd just like to review the three plans for the site. It's a little difficult for me to point to things in this setting, but at the upper right of this picture would be the Rose Garden. At the bottom is Interstate Avenue. Essentially, what we're proposing is to utilize this wonderful box of the Coliseum to create a new arena that has a smaller footprint. You can see that in the center of the screen. At the top is the community ice hall with the permanent ice fixture, ice rink fixture. And at the bottom, you can see the three-pool aquatic center. To the left of the picture is the new entrance to the public recreation use, which allows the current entrance to the Coliseum to be maintained and allows us to run public recreation at the same time the arena is in use. This is the concourse level. Visualize this as where you come into the building today, and as you walk in the front door, you would see the arena. But today, instead of the arena going up and down from that level, it will mostly go down, so there'll be terrific views out over the top, through a glass wall, and over the aquatic center towards downtown. At the left of the picture is the upper level of the public rec entrance, and that's where we have placed the new sit-down restaurant. At the plaza level, you can see the proposed location of the new veteran or relocated Veterans Memorial. And then this drawing is two floors stacked on top of each other. The bottom drawing is the Fieldhouse level, over four city blocks of new flat floor space, flanked by two bars of space that would include locker rooms, aerobic studios, weight rooms, and so on. There's also a jog track up in the rafters in the upper level plan. Again, the view that you see of the Coliseum, obviously our plan is controversial for its removal of the seating bowl, but we've come back in with what we view as a new modernist expression of a box within a box or a building within a building, and you can see if you look closely, the Fieldhouse level expressed as a structure within the structure similar to the seating bowl as it exists today. And this is a section cut through the building to give you some sense of this new floor that we've installed above the arena. So at the bottom right is the arena, the bottom left the aquatic center, and the upper level is the Fieldhouse. Very quickly, the public benefits that we see in our proposal, it's a full-service recreation facility, a public recreation facility to serve the entire city. It meets the identified recreation needs of residents in North, Northeast, and Northwest Portland, and in fact meets those needs as identified in the Parks 2020 Master Plan. It's a place dedicated to youth of our city, providing healthy, positive diversions. It's a critical tool for making Portland more family-friendly. It is a small, affordable, and high-quality event center for a range of uses, and as I mentioned before, a platform for sports conventions. And last, we view it as a family-oriented anchor for redevelopment of the Rose Quarter and the surrounding area. Why is it a better plan? It brings us a brand new state-of-the-art arena with ultimate flexibility in mind. It creates a critical mass of community recreation facilities. It focuses on integrating arena events, community recreation, and competitions into a single economic model run by a nonprofit that is financially self-supporting. And it's a clear alternative to the current paradigm. I've been asked, what are the key obstacles? I think the council is well aware of our concerns about the existing operating agreement. We believe that it's unfair that one of the competitors in the process is in a position of deciding the ultimate outcome of the process. We don't feel the RFP process the process fully recognizes the fact that our proposal and one of the other proposals is essentially a volunteer public proposal. And the council should be aware that there are a lot of questions that need to be answered about our plan and others, and the proposed stipend is probably insufficient to answer those types of questions. In closing, we think this is a once-in-a-generation opportunity. It's a uniquely Portland plan built on Portland ideals. It's a potential signature project that will enhance Portland's unique culture and support development in the Rose Quarter. It's a strong statement about the value of youth and families in our community. It's a magnet for sports conventions and related tourism, and we think it's a bold and compelling alternative to the status quo. and we thank you for my rapid presentation here.
That was very good. To keep it fair to all the proposers, if I could indulge counsel to hold your questions so that we keep it totally fair. You have a few more minutes, so is there anything that you want to reiterate by way of closing?
I think I've said what I'd like to say, Your Honor.
Thank you very much, then. Who's next? This was just intended to give the public and the council a sense of the vision for each of the proposers. We need to switch technology.
I think we're ready to go. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. I'm J.E. Isaac, project leader for the Trailblazers and Winterhawks group. With me is our partner, Doug Piper, who's president of the Winterhawks. It's very clear that Portlanders care very deeply about the Memorial Coliseum. We'd like to start by complimenting and thanking the Stakeholder Advisory Committee, the PDC staff, the staff of the mayor's office, and the hundreds of Portlanders who have participated in this process so far. This has been a very open and inclusive process, and we're very pleased to have been one of the three finalists that have been recommended for the RFP stage. We are also very pleased that the three finalists all include a spectator facility in their plan, because our plan is rooted in the building's highest and best use, and that is as a spectator facility. What we would like to do is respect, preserve, and enhance that highest use. And it's doing very well. The Memorial Coliseum does more than 150 major events a year, attended by more than 430,000 people. Our plan retains and builds on this existing value and adds non-event activity, community benefits, and increased fan amenities to this venue to make it a vital part of a vibrant, revitalized district. We're committed to a thoughtful approach to modernizing the Coliseum that builds on what already works. This hearing is a step on the road to a public-private partnership to assure the future of Memorial Coliseum and realize a once-in-a-generation opportunity to fully activate the Rose Quarter. But we can't forget that 17 years ago, this city entered into another public-private partnership, one that is universally regarded as the best deal ever made by a municipality on a major league venue. Hearing Will Mock call that into question is very difficult for us. And so I would like to take just a minute and talk to you about that operating agreement and what it has meant to the city of Portland. Number one, it dates back 17 years ago to when we built the Rose Garden. And unlike virtually any other situation in a small market in BA Town, it was virtually all privately developed. $234 million of a total $267 million project was private money. The $34 million that the city put in was to build two parking garages and to refurbish Memorial Coliseum. And in exchange for that, the city got a 6% user fee on all the tickets for both venues and all the revenues from the public garages. This has generated already $60 million on a $34 million investment, and the excess revenues from the Rose Quarter have now been committed to refurbish PGE Park. In addition, the Blazers agreed to cover the losses at the Memorial Coliseum, and those losses have been substantial. In the last 10 years, it has amounted to $1 million. Now, anyone that calls into question us favoring the Rose Garden to the detriment of Memorial Coliseum has to ask themselves, why haven't we steered a little bit more money into the Coliseum? Why would we allow ourselves to lose $1 million if we were playing with it that way? People that say that don't understand the arena business. We operate this suite of facilities with a unified group that books all of the buildings and takes care of all of the maintenance of both buildings. That in itself is a huge advantage to Memorial Coliseum, that you have the economies of scale of a joint labor force. But the promoters decide which building they want to go in. We're happy to rent them the Memorial Coliseum, which is cheaper to rent. And the fees that we charge for the Memorial Coliseum are a matter of public record. And they're not being not undisclosed, like Will Mock said. So don't be concerned about that. You also are getting all of the financial information is required under our agreement, except for individual event differentials. And that is the part that would severely damage the Memorial Coliseum's bottom line if we had to make that public. Anyway, I've probably spent way too much on time on the operating agreement, but we do feel passionately that it is a very good deal for the city of Portland. Our plan has much in common with the two other finalists, but we believe it is superior in four ways, because it retains not only the exterior of the building, but it retains the interior of the bowl. In that way, it is much like the base case. It is better operationally. All of the current users are flocking to support our plan, including our partners, the Winter Hawks, the OSAA, the Rose Festival Association. It is superior architecturally in that it respects the original architecture of the building. It is better from an economic point of view because we are not taking the extra expense of tearing out one bowl and putting in a new one. And it is also environmentally better because of that same fact. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to our partner, Doug, to tell you a little bit more about our plan.
Thank you, Jay. My name is Doug Piper, president of the Portland Winter Hawks Hockey Club. And the Winter Hawks have been in this process since the beginning and feel like we're one of the largest stakeholders because not only do we play our games there and have for 33 years, but we office in the building as well. So if anybody's given this a lot of thought, it's probably us because we're in the basement kind of looking around and seeing how this thing works. And what really became important to us, with a lot of great ideas have come out of this, and fortunately for us, a lot of them have included us being a major tenant, which is a role we want to play in the building, so it's economically viable. But we feel that the viability of this project is based also on the people involved and the expertise that's brought to the table. And the reason that we got involved with the Trailblazers is because, frankly, they're experts in running arenas, and we feel that we are in that business as well. And the two of us together make a really good team to make this thing come to fruition. And everybody's put in so much time and effort, the SAC committee and the mayor and everyone. It'd be a shame to have great ideas but not see this thing go all the way to fruition. And that's what we think we can do, because we think not only is this economically viable the way we're putting it together, but that we have the expertise to make it all happen. Now, we can show you a few slides, and we'll do this quickly so we can stay on time schedule, but we're trying to take advantage of views of the city. The Coliseum is beautifully placed as it is. We want to make sure that we bring in restaurants and the athletic facilities and the other things that bring in non-event activity as well, because the more the building is used by as many people as possible, the better it is for all of us. That is our vision. It's best for our business, and I think it's best for the city as well. We want to take the beauty of the Memorial Coliseum and modernize it into a 21st century facility. We think we do have the expertise to do that. We agree with a very eloquent description that was given about the importance of lowering the size of the bowl. There are logical reasons for doing that, including doing things to the bowl that makes it a better fan experience, such as party areas and bars and restaurants that people can use and not just come and sit in a seat but actually mingle around. That's the way the industry is going. So to make those changes would be really important. But the most important thing for us is to take this facility out another 50 years to make it economically viable, which we believe we can play an important role in, and to work with the Blazers to manage it on behalf of the city in the best way possible so that it's the best possible use for everybody concerned in the entire region. Jay?
Thanks, Doug. Doug mentioned the new community athletic center located on the event floor level. That's going to be open and accessible to folks of all incomes, and it's going to give a 24/7 activity to the building. We also are looking forward to working with the veterans on establishing a new veterans memorial and, you know, want to do what they want to do regarding the memorial. Our process has been very community guided. We've been leading by listening. We've been changing our plan based on the input that we've gotten, and we're going to continue to adjust it based on that input. But as Doug mentioned, we think we have the best team. We have the team with the experience and the resources to make this thing happen. So we're very pleased with the growing community support that we're getting, as evidenced on the screen in front of you. And so we encourage your support in moving the process to the RFP stage. Thank you.
Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. Our next presenter will be VMAC. Welcome. Sure, you just give him to the council clerk is our protocol. All right, are we all geared up technologically?
I hope.
Okay. Why don't you begin? And then we'll hear from the Vision into Action, the first alternate as well.
Portland Commissioners, Honorable Mayor Adams, my name is David Tashney, and I'm the Development and Financial Consultant for VMAC. I'd like to begin by making a statement that Art Linkletter was asked what he regretted most in his life. He said it was the early 50s. Walt Disney took me out to the middle of L.A. and explained that he had a vision for resorts, something called Disney World. He said, I didn't go along with it and finance it. He said, that I regret most in my life. What Matthew Miller has worked on for over 5 years is a vision. I would like to introduce to you our building group, which you have in front of you. The mayor is well familiar in our SAC meetings. We introduced Art Geary. It's Kiewit International. Kiewit was founded in 1884. Their offices in the Northwest have been here 50 years, and they have partnerships now with the city of Portland in excess of $250 million for the Gresham Sewer. They just finished in September the MAX line to Town Center. They're working on Southwest 6th and 7th Avenue in Taylor, and they did complete the Nike World headquarters as part of their project in the past. Kiewit has joined us as the building group to make sure that if we are selected, they will be successful in finishing the project. We have just signed an MOU with a world-class architectural firm. Wimberly Allison Tong and Gu designed the Euro Disney Hotel, the Hawaii Convention Center, the Coca-Cola Pavilion for the Olympics in Atlantic, and they're doing a Philharmonic. They've been in business 60 years, and they have joined us from their Seattle office to assist Matthew Miller in the design, planning, interior, sustainability, and what they call concept or hip square. They have put a staff on this project and will continue on through the RFP process. I will now turn it over to Matthew Miller, our lead design and architect.
Hello, Mr. Mayor and Council. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here. This is my first time at a council meeting, and I'm honored to be able to do this with you. This is a project that was first conceived by a man named Leroy Cameron in the mid-90s. Leroy is an active civic-minded person and has came up with this idea. He used to be on the Jazz Society, and is very passionate about that. He introduced the concept to me in 2003, and I spent a year on it, did my architectural thesis in college on it, and then over the past year revamped it and spent about another 1,000 hours making it viable and realistic as the project you see before you today. As the mayor started out by saying, this is a project and a building that Portlanders are very passionate about. It's a historical building, but it's also evoking of people's feelings when it comes to some of their first experiences. Concerts and basketball games, Winterhawk games, circuses. I grew up going to the Coliseum, and it was very important to me when I did my proposal in college on this, because at the time, revamping the memorial was very important to me, because at the time I was serving in the 671st Engineer Company out of North Portland, so I was in the Army Reserves. One thing I like about this building is its flexibility in its design, and it's an icon now. We want to make it more of an icon. We want to make it relevant. We don't want to be here in another 15 years trying to figure out what to do with this building, and we feel like we have the vision and the team behind us to move forward the most flexible design. So really quick, I'm going to go in and just kind of go back and forth between the slideshow and these boards in front of me, but the unique features, you're familiar with our project, but I want to go and just talk briefly about what sets us apart, what makes us unique from the other concepts. First and foremost, we have a flexible design. It includes multiple activities which are designed to take place simultaneously. We provide dual entries for the arena and the VMAC. The first entry into the VMAC actually would be along aligned with Broadway Drive. You can see right here. So that it re-engages the district and also provides separate entry and security apparatuses to safely host an event in the arena itself, such as a Winterhawks game, while you have other activities taking place in the larger building itself. We also provide modular wall and structural systems so things can be changed over time. And we provide, as you can see from this design chart before you, we have multiple revenue streams, which we feel... given the operating agreement, for instance, could be compatible with our plans and the Blazers plan, in the sense that they could continue to run the Central Arena as needed and per their contract, which we respect, but we could also control the rest of the activities in the building, mostly that would not be spectator, and some of which would be under the purview of an education and school system. Second thing that makes us unique is that we include programming for the arts. Programming for the arts, which none of the other concepts have. We feel like with the Pearl District being right across the river, that this is very important. And I'll just quote from Creative Advocacy Network's website, that 95% of Portland area voters believe that arts education is vital to our children's future success, which is why we include a school for talented and financially disadvantaged youth that would be funded by private grants, and it would include a 500-seat auditorium, band, choir, and practice room facilities, dance studios, 3 black box theaters, as well as other sport areas. As I also mentioned, we also want to enhance and preserve the memorial. Not only are we one of the only, we're the only concept that leaves it in place. We feel that it's located there as a sanctuary, as a place to contemplate and remember your family in private. But as some of you may know, it only represents veterans that died within a 12-mile radius of the Coliseum, and only from the Korean and World War II, as I understand it. We would like to see it include veterans of all wars. We would like to see it include people from all of Oregon. Our plan does that. It doubles the existing size of the memorial, and it uses engaging ramps and sweeping ramps and water features that would make it part of the overall plaza. This would make it ADA compliant, and people would know that it's there, unlike right now. Our concept also, I would say, is probably the most sustainable. Our exoskeleton, for instance, that you can see in detail right here, not only preserves and protects the historic facade, but it also encapsulates the building in a dual air pocket. We've pulled it back here at the main entry, though, as kind of a homage to the original design and partie of the building, which we view as very important and very unique to the modernist style. And from this vantage point, from the main plaza and main entry into the Coliseum itself, you can still see the arena. The egg within the glass box that would be virtually intact. We only take out the end portions and leave seating for around 8,000 people. We also would like to include a green roof and natural ventilation and sunlight that would be entered in from the roof. And we would like to go for LEED Gold certification. And lastly, we would like, most of all, I would say, to respect the nature and historic nature of the district and retain the current uses, which is why we include programming for arts inside the building itself, not as a part of the district, because we view the Coliseum as the catalyst, not the other way around, which is why we include spaces for the arts in the building, such as a jazz club. And we would like, if possible, we'd be honored if the Winterhawks would continue to stay at and make their home at the building. And most importantly for all of us former band geeks, we would like to include, make it possible for the Rose parade to continue marching through the building. And you can see in these sketches that we've allowed that to remain possible. With my remaining time, I'd like to turn it over to Mike Gilliland, who's our landscape architect and professional musician.
Yeah, I kind of span both worlds a little bit because I'm a chairman, co-chairman on the grant foundation that we were establishing that kind of started as part of this that we've kind of divided off to approach people about some users for the building. We've got a lot of nice pictures, but we have to get the people on them. So we're looking at a lot of groups, education groups, a lot of arts education, multi-generational mentorships and things for the arts, athletics. The Academy in particular could probably facilitate 10,000 students within the first year. We've got the model put that together. For a decade, yeah. So we've got those models put together. The opportunity to proceed with this would allow us to get further into these groups. Everybody's waiting in the wings to say, yeah, we'd love it. What's next? So we're anticipating that we'll be able to do so in that format. I appreciate the time, and I heard the buzzer.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll now hear from Community Crossroads as the alternate. Then we'll be going directly into, we've been advised that we're just going to hear the presentations, so we won't be having Q&A with the presenters because it's a RFP process. I know some of you have to get to a Blazer event, so you're free to leave, but we will take testimony from the public. Hi, welcome back to the City Council.
Thanks.
Glad you're here.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come to speak to you guys today. As the alternate, we're very thankful that you gave us this opportunity. My name is Chris Nesselrode. I am here presenting the larger organization, which has become Rose Quarter Community Crossroads. That organization has been made up of a number of organizations, if I can figure out how to advance this. The Vision into Action Committee, the Center for Intercultural Organizing, came together and partnered up with two other proposers during the 96 presenters process, one which is Growing Gardens. The other is KS Design Group. Our proposal is a concept based on community outreach that we had done, talking to community partners and discussing what they would like to see within the space. The program looked at opening the space to free access so that people had the opportunity to utilize the space without payment. This proposal here, in our original proposal, we had looked essentially outside of the box, and there had been some discussion that the presentation should be geared for what would occur within the box. So our program exists the same. We have developed it so that it stays within the space. As you will see, access to the plaza is remaining for purposes of the parade. We have included within it a memorial garden, as this next slide indicates the locations of those gardens, both vertical gardens as well as large gardens that can serve multiple purposes, the housing units, the center, as well as the restaurants and shops. The intercultural center provides a hub. As you can see here, the cultural center is located from the main entrance on an upper plaza that oversees the lower plaza and is connected to the rest of the facility. The next piece that's been discussed is the World Market. This location is as well on the Upper Plaza as you enter, allowing people the opportunity to walk in throughout and experience multiple cultures, multiple shops within that area. The next is incubation space. And as well as many of you know, there's a large space, is 56,000 square feet of area that's below the main entrance that is breakout space that's currently used for multiple meetings and still could have that use. We're looking at allowing for multiple uses in that space. The next is the Veterans Memorial, and what we're looking at is the entire space would work as a memorial, allowing for local artists to provide memorials to the veterans in and throughout the space, so that it is constantly aware as you're walking in and throughout the space that is the dedication of this building. There's a housing component that we are addressing. The housing component, we're looking at affordable housing, mixed use for both worker rate housing as well as our aging population that have a space. It's a large component of this to have people within that facility. Then there's the plaza component, which is the current arena, utilizing that as a plaza, maintaining some of the existing stairs, maintaining a portion of the existing bowl. The intent would be to remain, have the existing exterior of the building remain as is, entrance exist as is, and essentially just change the interior of the building. The bowl would be somewhat removed. There's portions of it left, as you can see it indicates. The next portion we're going to talk about, the letter that was submitted the other day. I'll leave it to Casey to speak about that.
Good afternoon, Mayor Sam Adams and the commissioners. My name is Casey Chama. I'm with the Center for Intercultural Organizing. And
hello, I'm Melinda Pittman. I'm a volunteer with the Vision into Action Committee and Artistic Director of Broad Arts Theater.
So as you can see, for us, when we started engaging in this process, our focal point basically was that we went back and used the Fission PTX data, although we know that the Fission PTX data wasn't a plan for Portland, but it was a matter of conversation for the community to start, a place to start for the community. Based off that, we know that also Portland Plan is working hard to incorporate on the efficient PTX data for their Portland plan. But as using a baseline, when we started this process, our proposal included the following key area that we felt that is important to include in this plan. One, creation of a lively, vibrant, truly public space that can be accessed for free by community members of for different ages, income levels, and social groups. The inclusion of amenities and spaces that meet the needs of underserved community, including minority-led small businesses, immigrant and refugee community organizations, and low-income families. Uses and a program that serve veterans and the African-American community, honoring the past and the history of the site by responding to the current needs of these communities. A focus sustainability in all its forms, economic, environmental, cultural, social, and the integration of sustainability principles through the site.
So we looked at site design and the RFP, and we request that the request for proposals require that successful proposals include these following key elements: that public access to free activities and family-friendly environments as a primary function for the site. We want at least 25% of the space within the Coliseum building devoted to affordable workspace for minority-owned small businesses, for micro-enterprises, and for social startups. That developers, property management, and enterprises on site exceed previous standards for minority hiring and contracting, and that those jobs that are created are living wage jobs with living wage benefits and include the rights to unionize. We also suggest that the process be given that the Portland plan's focus on equity and the pending city council budgets, that city council immediately vote for an analysis of the cost to the public and equity standards reflected in both the RFP criteria and the remaining proposals conducted by individuals with expertise in proven models, such as racial equity health impact assessments or the triple bottom line theory. And I think we're saying things that you haven't heard yet. So we're really focusing on the community access and the community inclusion in all levels of management and work in this building. And our final process point, that the city dedicate staff time to engage community stakeholders in the programming and design with the goal of ensuring that the history and current needs of African American population and the veteran populations are particularly honored.
Transparency. Create both community benefit and good neighborhood agreement signed by the developers of the Memorial Coliseum and the Rose Quarter area, city officials, and the community stakeholders. Accountability. The City Council should require an independent audit to take place 1 year after the completion of the development. The audit will evaluate based on the original criteria performance measures. The PSU Social Equity and Opportunity Forum, Director Janet Hammer, has offered assistance of the university in developing and applying triple bottom line framework, especially under the Coliseum redevelopment proposals. Based on those criteria, we would like to continue this process as part of the community rose quarter, and also to make sure that all the equity issues have been addressed as we move forward. I think it's a unique opportunity as a city we have to make sure that we take an opportunity to apply all the equity issues in this proposal.
And lastly, I would say, and I appreciate that your guys's time. It was mentioned at the beginning, stated that this arena, whether it's this arena that starts the proposal of what happens in this space, or it's the space that determines what happens in this arena, by providing a community-driven space that really determines what happens in the area versus a single source space that could eventually lend the space to be a single source overall market. And so I think the opportunity here to allow us to speak, we thank you for that.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. We'll now go to citizen testimony. How many people?
Did you want David?
Is that your preference? Yep.
Well,
David, yes. Coming up.
Carl, how many? 17 people.
So David,
17 people?
17 people.
You have to leave soon? Okay. So, Commissioner Leonard?
Just a brief question that came up in the minority report about the oversight of the income expenses at the Coliseum. In the minority report, it said that that was confidential data that I inferred we did not have access to. In Jay Isaac's testimony, he said that's not true. The city has access to that information, although he did say with the exception of individual event differentials, which are kept confidential. I don't know what that is and didn't have an opportunity to ask him. But basically my question is, do we independently, albeit confidentially, go in and audit what they tell us the revenue is from the various events that occur there and apply standard auditing principles to those audits? And do we assure ourselves that what they represent to us, the income is, and the accounting methods used? I only refer to the accounting methods because he mentioned also that there's no, in the minority report, that there's no adequate explanation for the unbusinesslike practice for the deduction of capital costs from operating income. Now, I don't know if that is businesslike or not, but.
Yeah, let me try to address that, Commissioner. For the record, Dave Loggs in Office of Management and Finance. And as council knows, the city receives 6% of all ticket revenue sold for events in both the Rose Garden and Memorial Coliseum. And all the tickets sold for those events go through an electronic ticket system. Traditionally, it's been Ticketmaster. Recently, it's been New Era. So that any ticket that is sold for an event, that sale is captured in that electronic system. And when the city receives checks for user fees from the Blazer organization, we get a copy of that Ticketmaster report, so we have all the source data that says how many tickets are sold, at what price, what's the gross